What's everybody? Welcome to the podcast. This is Jamie, also known as Monitora Esperta. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. Summer is slipping through our fingers like sands of the hourglass, and so is the days of our lives. I hope you're having an amazing summer. I hope you're making the most of it. I hope you're doing everything you can to enjoy this time. You'll only experience it once, so go get it. And don't stop until you enjoy it to the fullest. It's been a while since we've had an episode, I think, since mid-April. So it's been about 3 months. Sorry about that. Starting a new job, and because of this, Eugene and I's schedules can't really match up, so we've kind of had to split off and do our own projects. He will be coming to you with an episode of just him, and this week, well, if anything, before we start with the interview, let's get some business out of the way. So let's hear about some events coming up that I could plug for other really good schools out there. Okay, so in Chicago, from July 16th to the 19th, Jinga Archie, Capoeira Chicago, under Mestranda Mirisa, is going to be having an event. Should be cool. Actually, it shouldn't be cool at all. It's probably going to be humid as hell. Drink a lot of water, so if you're out there, go ahead and check that out. They'll probably be doing a lot of other, like, open hoodas, hopefully around, like, the Chicago area. I went there a few years ago with my friend Jimmy, and we had a really good time out there. In Salt Lake City, Utah, Volta Mudia Capoeira out there under Mestre Jamaica, super cool guy. His school is actually like a sister school of ours, so he comes all the time, and we know many of his students. A couple of them are really cool friends of mine for a while, so definitely check that event. Support it if you can. July 10th to 12th, Capoeira Moro Vergi in New Hope, Pennsylvania, under Professora Gata Brava, is going to be having an event. July 10th to 12th, it's their 5th annual Bachizado. I've always wanted to go. I've seen super cool pictures of that barn that they do the event in. One of these days, I hope to go there. So definitely check that out if you're on that side. July 10th to 12th in Oakland, California, Capoeira Brazil East Bay will be having their 2nd Bachizado. It is going to be awesome. I've had the pleasure of rooming with Tammy for the week in Seattle about like 6 months ago or earlier this year. So if you're out there, go ahead and support them. And lastly, Ajay Capoeira under Mestre Bohau. We all know who he is. He has a lot of really cool CDs. Really great school under him out there in Canada, Vancouver, July 15th to 19th. So if you're in any of those areas, guys, you have nothing to do, go on in and, you know, get a ticket, get a Greyhound, get some friends, get in a car, and just fucking go. So this week, we talk about cross-training with my good friend Matt. I have known Matt, I think, for about 6 years now. Really great guy, really super humble, super funny, helpful, tall, really tall guy. And we really run the gamut of cross-training. We had just gone to our own, our mother school's Bachizado. And honestly, like, I don't even think we've really, he and I have had, an actual, like, conversation, like, with just us. So it was super nice to do that. And I wish him all the luck in his future. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And, I hope I continue to keep, hopefully giving you a little bit more, and I'm hoping that there won't be another lag. So thank you so much for everybody for supporting the podcast or just picking it up now and are like binging on it. Like it's Orange is the New Black on Netflix. I really appreciate it. Again, please, tweet us, Instagram, tag us, Facebook, like the page, send us anything that you may have, any ideas, any events or anything like that, we will plug it, and hopefully you guys like it, so check it out. So here it is, Capoeira Podcast, episode 16 with my friend Matt, a.k.a. Monitor Diesel. Enjoy. All right, with me in the studio is Matt. So, Matt, please tell us about yourself.
What up, though? My name is Matthew. My apellido is Diesel. I got that. My first teacher gave me some sort of garbage reason why. Oh, it's because you're so strong, and it's because I look like Vin.
I was gonna say it's because you had that Vin Diesel.
It's exactly why. And I finally got it out of him. He owned up to it. He thinks he's funny, but he's not. I've been playing Capoeira for, I hit the decade mark 2 months ago.
Nice.
I started in New York in 2005 with Capoeira Angola Palmares, mm-hmm. under Maestro Gulliver. Trained with him for about 2.5, almost 3 years before I moved to L.A. I got out here, floated around a little bit, and then ended up with you at your first studio, training with Batuki in the Valley under Contramaestro Shingu.
Shingu, yeah.
And I'm still there now. And I think that brings us up to speed.
That's really concise. That's really concise. No, I like that. Yeah. Okay, so Matt and I actually met up yesterday at Capoeira Batuki's 26th Bachizado.
Sure did.
Can I get like a Yelp review of it?
It was...
Not even a Yelp review, but you got to go to a few days. I was only able to go on Sunday because it was my day off.
Uh-huh.
I took a workshop under Mestre Pinga Fogu, mm-hmm. and it was awesome because we did Miyajinyo. And I don't know if you remember, Shingu made us do sequences 1 to 5 for like 4 months.
You still got that app on your phone?
I still have that app. That is just something that you just, I mean, sequences, and especially if they just push it in your brain, yep. you can't get
yep.
out.
Yeah.
So I just.
Oh, yeah. So you know this. No, it's in my blood.
Yeah, those sequences were something that Shingu would not let us. So that was an awesome. But I mean, I liked it. It was just nice to move mm-hmm. around. Usually Sundays, I'm nice right. to get up and to stretch and to sweat and to see a lot of people. It was really nice seeing a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while because of, you know, just time and stuff like that, and seeing people from, like, Japan mm-hmm. and the different mm-hmm. countries and everything. But you were able to go to the Open Hodas.
I was able to go Wednesday night, Thursday night.
Just Hodas?
Just Hodas. I wasn't able to go during the day to take any of the workshops. Mm-hmm. I got to take a... Khalil and instructor Bananal did a percussion workshop
that I got to take.
That was pretty cool. And it was right before the open hut on Saturday.
So this is very convenient.
It was extremely convenient. And then I got to stick around through the very long ceremony because our school is so big. So the ceremony is like 900 hours long.
It is actually... The school has shrunk down because now your school does its own Bachizado.
Yeah,
my school does its own Bachizado. Santa yeah. Barbara, Japan have mm-hmm. done their own. I mean, okay, so this is a tip for anyone that has family or has family that wants to see the Bachizado. Get the initial time, tack on 2 hours.
Yep.
Come at that time.
Yep.
So if a Bachizado runs at 2 o'clock, come at 4 or 5. If your loved one is advanced to intermediate.
Yes, yes. If they are beginner, just whatever initial time, shave off an hour.
Yeah.
And you should be good to go.
But the good games, sorry, younger chords, the good games are yellowing up.
Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy playing younger chords because I have learned how to push without being overbearing.
Yes.
And it's actually cool to see people that aren't used to that kind of game process on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just moving around like a green cord or a yellow-green cord.
No, I completely understand.
And then all of a sudden things start clicking yeah. with them. And they're like, oh, this is scary, but I got to do something.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, okay, okay. And then, you know, to kind of plant those seeds of later on they're going to come back and exact their vengeance on me. I think that's pretty cool.
No, I like it. I like to call my games with green cords and under satellite. I call them satelliting because sometimes I like to try new moves.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, if I fake this, and I know they're going to go for that because they don't know any better, I can try X move, yeah, or I can try Y.
Yeah.
So that's why I like playing green cards. Also, and sometimes some of them are just so nervous and scared.
Yes, yeah.
That, you know, I like to kind of, like, you know, pump them up a little bit and let them have their time to try stuff. And you want to kick at me? That's cool.
I'm gonna go around. that's why I like that fine art of pressing just enough so there's a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. So even if you are nervous, you're like, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like I feel like I can move with you, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I like playing with younger chords. How did you play any advanced? Like, I know you don't. You say it's a blur sometimes when you play, and I understand.
It is, and while I don't remember specifically the game, I remember when things went well. I don't know how what happened, but they went well. But no, this was pretty much first event with Blue in my court, so I played a lot of big boy games. And
you play with any big boys?
I play with very large men.
This from Brazil.
And dreadlocks. All points everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. I've also, because I am a larger man myself, I have always attracted other larger men who have wanted to, you know, they want to push you.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
We're still talking about capoeira.
We were
right?
So talking about capoeira. And now a lot of people in our school have, even though, you know, I'm on the way out in the valley, a lot of people from the main studio and other places have seen my game evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they enjoy just like I push, you know, a younger court, I think they enjoy doing the same thing to me.
Right.
So I had a lot of big boy games where there was, we're gonna put the screws on a little bit.
You know, I feel like that's always gonna happen. Like, even Mestres, they'll see Mestre Corjon, they have to play him. It's funny because you can see the youth in their eyes from when they played him when they had no chords. I think that's hilarious. And it doesn't happen that often. But when you pick it up, you kind of start to see this playfulness.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like the Mestre still sees them as boys or the girls as, like, young chords. And you can see that fear still.
It's always good to see that, too, because then it's always good to see someone that you look up to or a teacher kind of have a humbling moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you kind of, you're able to relate to them more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this is, so you don't have it all figured out. And we're kind of all going through this journey together. And there's, you know, oh, you've got a minotaur that you have to face too. And it's like really cool to see, oh, you were struggling with so-and-so. And it's just like, yeah, because he's someone to be struggled with.
Like, up to this day.
Yeah.
After all these years.
Yeah.
So it was a great event. Once again, very long. You know, we will never be able to get past that, I think, with every Bachizado.
Absolutely.
A little bit gets shaved off, though, I'm telling you, because before it used to be super long.
It was actually shorter than normal, because it was smaller than normal. Meister even said that we had less guests. He invited less guests than normal. He wanted to have an intimate ceremony this year.
Mm-hmm.
And because enough satellite schools have done their own Bachizado, there are less people actually getting courted.
Mm-hmm.
So, all things considered, the 5 hours it took for the whole ceremony to go down was relatively quick.
It really was.
Kind of accounted for it. And, well, I did hit traffic. I didn't get there until like 2:40. And I got there right when they were doing the Orisha ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And right before the Melandros came out and did a little samba thing.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of perfect timing.
No, that was good timing.
Yeah.
The introductions were really nice.
The introductions were definitely nice, yeah.
I think, you know what I would have wanted? Last year, he got all the monitors to get up, and I was like, this is finally my chance. 9 years, I'm going to get up there because I'm one of the advanced. No.
And this year, he cut that off at instructors.
Yeah, he just cut, yeah. I just think with now the influx of more professors and instructors, I don't think that's going to happen anymore because there's like 1,000 of us.
Oh, yeah,
in every degree.
There are a lot, yeah. And big ups to all the people that actually, all the upper chords that advanced. That was really what I was going to see because I don't know a lot of the younger chords out of the main studio.
No.
But I know a lot of the upper chords, and it was kind of cool to watch them play for theirs.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was funny because they didn't really put up the blue chords. I think once yellow kind of hit, I saw Wheezy taking out a smaller box of all of those chords.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw her, like, putting it up, and I'm like, oh, this shit ain't over. There's more. Oh, there's more.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, let me get a seat.
Oh, wait, this is going to be good.
This is the real show, yeah. I mean, to me, the big show to me is yellow and up. Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw some of the people going to yellow, and I saw how nervous they were. Even throughout the week and stuff, or they were talking, or you can hear that nervousness of playing and that anticipation of playing.
I think when you get to a certain capoeira age, mm-hmm. It's not that you have a nonchalant attitude about it, but you're like, no, I've been here before. I know it's going to happen. I'm good. I'm going to, even as a higher court, I'm going to have to play a bunch of people. Yeah. I get it. After you've gone to two or three of them, and then, like you said, you're in that yellow range, mm-hmm. and you're still getting headhunted by maestries that want to slam you on the floor.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is it going to be hard this year?
Yeah. Or
will I fall soft? And I think that's where that comes from. But then when you get higher, you're just like, no, there's a good chance. No, I might make it out alive. I might not.
You know, I never asked you, how was your Bachizato games? I wasn't there, so I didn't really hear. Usually, I'll hear, some sort of, oh, blah, blah, got swept so fucking hard. Like, how was your, do you remember who you played? Do you remember, I know you probably don't remember details, because like I said, it's always a blur.
I don't remember details. I remember most of the people I played, mm-hmm. because Shingu decided to do something very unique. And there were three of us playing for a Monitor chord,
mm-hmm.
including myself, and we each had to play six people. So, which doesn't happen a lot, but I think, I swear I looked over, and when Shingu said it, he's like standing over there, like twirling his mustache with like an evil maniacal laugh.
He can't even grow a mustache, but
he was twirling the little fuzz that he has, that he calls mustache.
I'm
still gonna get kicked out. Oh, I'm screwed. No, but I had to play Giraffa. I played Instructor Furacao. I played Zach, mm-hmm. Corpofichado. I played, I can't remember his name, Professor from, he was from another group. I can't remember his name. And I had to play Professor Pizan and somebody else, who I can't remember, because there were six people back to back. And I just remember by the time I got the corporate fichado, I was gassing so hard. I was just like, no more. Stop this. And then I think Pizal took it easy on me because he saw I was sucking wind. But and then Shingu said, and you can play them. meaning go for blood. So
he said it to them, or was he saying it to you guys?
No, he was saying it to them. You play these guys. And so it kind of, for a second, I thought I had been transported into a Mortal Kombat tournament.
Uh-huh.
But no, it was cool.
Did you, when you were playing them, does any thoughts of your cross-training in terms of, stick fighting or even, any of the other cross-trainings come in sometimes? Because sometimes when I play, I will think of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff will go through my mind, which is weird because it shouldn't be. Certain things, the feelings.
It happens. It's the hard part is retaining that when it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I think thinking in the moment on top of all that adrenaline,
mm-hmm.
Happens a lot. But then when all that adrenaline dissipates, it's like all that stuff that I process goes out with it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a personal problem, though. But
I think that's something that just happens.
Yeah, well, weird. I hope I'm not the only one.
When I played my game for Monitor, I know I played four people. But I forgot to breathe, apparently.
Mm, mm.
And they had to cut one person, because I think I turned, it was to the point where I was turning purple.
Oh, good God.
And I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And I still refuse to look at the footage of what people have taped, because I'm so scared of what I'm going to see. But I apparently did not breathe. And I think when I got to... I was going to say, that's a small detail that I forgot.
Yeah, just that little itty-bitty thing that may have helped.
But I just remember so much things, like, happening through my head. Like, I don't know if you guys or, like, people out there, like, know, but I've noticed for me, certain people will make faces. Like, I know if someone's going to kick, because sometimes... Usually, the eyes go up. So I was actually focusing on having a blank face during the whole time.
You know,
and I think that's when I forgot to breathe.
You know what's funny about that? Well, you get it from Capoeira a lot. I've gotten it from it's been ramped up from a screamer. It's the spidey sense.
Mm-hmm.
When you can tell, it's almost, if you can conceptualize it as, you know, like a poker tell, that's mm-hmm. one thing. But I've gotten to the point where you can literally feel someone, like, collecting their energy.
Yes.
Right before they're about to kick.
Yes.
Like, they'll move, and then all of a sudden you just feel them just kind of tensing up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's coming. This is when it's coming.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people are like, ooh, I faked you out. And I'm like, yeah, you keep doing that. Okay, this is the real one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The clench.
So yeah, in that regard, using things that I've learned in other arts come into play all the time, and especially because, in terms of Capoeira, because my first school, I started in an Angola school, so I have a strong Angola base.
Mm-hmm.
It's being used to being close, watching for elbows and knees that people are like, that's not real capoeira. And you're like, okay, then you better get used to it.
Yeah.
Because trust me, it'll happen. But being able to use, you know, what little jujitsu I know mm-hmm. and the years of screaming that I've had and, you know, boxing training that I've had and a couple of months that I was called myself a Muay Thai guy. Being able to understand when you're in a vulnerable spot, when you're close, when you're in close quarters. Because not every game you're going to play is flowy and flashy and fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people like a lot. What I'm learning now from other stuff that I've done is being able to change my pace.
Mm-hmm.
Even regardless of what's playing at the bateria or how fast somebody else is going, I think a lot of people get caught up in wanting to go faster because they think Capoeira is a speed game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm beginning to utilize dictating pace. And it's helped my game so much. Being able to, because I tell you, one of the guys that we both know, Professor Tattoo,
mm-hmm.
he trains out of Shingu School right. also. He is so much faster than me that when I used to play him, it was just, oh God, I hate playing him because I can't keep up with him.
I agree.
I cannot keep up with what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I started learning that I don't have to, it's what my first teacher always said, you always play your game.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that no matter what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm going to go at my pace. And so a lot of times, depending on who's stronger in their pacing, the other person will get sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I called it a personal accomplishment. There have been a couple of times where I've been able to suck him into going slower. It doesn't always happen because sometimes he's like, you know what, screw this.
And he just ramps it up.
Yeah.
Yes, I kissing the ground because of him. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I love Tony's game. He plays with, there's this coolness about him, and the game screams Tony. Watching his game yesterday, people can't touch him, man.
He
cannot be touched.
He's so suave about
he
it.
He is. I would.
No.
He puts in work, and he's the low key type of guys. Like
yeah,
he doesn't make it known
on
Facebook. Like, yo, I just worked out. I feel so swole. Like,
yeah. I have no idea where.
Like,
he what'd
you do today?
Off.
Stuff, man.
Yeah,
like,
not just chill.
What kind of stuff? Cool stuff.
Cool
like
stuff.
He won't tell you that he's working out. That fool is like ninja working out.
Yeah.
A sandwich. A sandwich of fucking capoeira. No, he's awesome. That's a game that I always enjoy, and watching him get his rank of advanced professor was great. So congratulations to Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. Bad or anything. So this week we are talking about cross-training. And I think that's something that after a while of being in capoeira, I thought about kind of changing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are several different types of cross-training in terms of with capoeira that I've actually gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I started capoeira, I remember taking hip-hop classes for more rhythm. Does that sound stupid? Matt is like snickering.
Okay, I'm snickering because full disclosure, and I was debating on whether I was going to bring this up or not. When I was... You get to a point, maybe, because I still remember my beginner capoeira journey vividly. You get to a point where you're maybe 3-4 years in, where mm-hmm. you start looking for things to kind of boost you.
Yeah.
You start hitting little walls with little movements, and you're like, what else can I do to feed my capoeira? What else can I
yeah.
do? And I remember specifically I had problems with armadas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most pain in the butt thing ever. And so, full disclosure, I did 3 weeks of contemporary ballet just
really?
To be able to pull off my armadas. And it worked.
The turns. Like
yeah, it was the turning. And the teacher was like, you just have to... She taught me the whole spotting and
right.
kind of cheating my foot and doing all this
oh.
stuff. And so, yeah. But I did the plié, relevé.
For me, it was my jenga. I wanted to get that fun jenga that you see teachers... do, and I remember I was like 2 years in and I was like, man, I don't know if my rhythm is off or it's just that uncoordination that you get when you start capoeira. And I remember signing up for beginner hip-hop classes I think it helped a little. It kind of helped with the swag and stuff personality and it was like a little bit more lighter and fun because sometimes capoeira does tend to be a little... it is a martial arts, so it's very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And my specific class that we were taking in the Valley was... Yeah, you had to be serious.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to just... it was a nice change. So I thought that was good cross-training. So that's what I was thinking about when I was thinking of the different degrees of cross-training. And then after that, I stopped dance classes, and then I was back into that capoeira, like, groove and stuff. And then I remember when I hit... when I started really cross-training, I think, was when I hit my wall proper at year 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when you kind of not even stop learning. It's just, you got your kicks down, you're singing, and sometimes your game just feels stale.
You start to wonder how... 'cause at about 5 years, you kind of... You can mentally... You have an encompassing idea of what capoeira is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not everything clicks. Not everything
right.
is attainable. So it's like, how can I incorporate all this stuff? Like, you look at other people and you're like, I know what you're doing. I just have no idea how you're doing it. So you end up hitting those kind of walls.
Yeah, that's how I felt. You start to compare yourself. When in reality, you don't even need to compare yourself after a while. And for some reason, people will tell you this. And I still don't listen mm-hmm. to them.
No.
It's really hard, dude.
It's really hard.
I remember at year 5 for me, in terms of cross training, I took up CrossFit. I'm not necessarily like burpees or anything like did that for me. I think what I took from CrossFit was the mental aspect of putting my body in such stress and getting more oxygen for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I started doing CrossFit more, I was able to kind of conserve my energy for when stuff counted.
Mm-hmm.
And then therefore having...
That big push.
Yeah, that big push and that mental push. Because there are times where you're just playing people, and you're just tired. And then you start to kind of just loaf in the hoda. Like, you just do this, like, lazy jenga. And it's not even, like, swag by this point. It's sheer fatigue.
What can I do to chew up some time until I get some wind back?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think CrossFit is just very push, push, push. And that's what I was using, basically, for that. But what type of things were you doing for your cross-training?
Well, it was funny because when you asked... When we talked about this a month and some change ago, and I started thinking about it, and I really have broken it down. It's two main aspects that I think about when I think about cross-training.
Mm-hmm.
It's the physical aspect. What can physically aid my capoeira? What can elevate me physically? Be it conditioning mm-hmm. or movements. You know, you have your usual go-tos. People talk about yoga for flexibility and CrossFit for endurance.
Yeah.
But there's a mental aspect to incorporating other things into capoeira that's just as invaluable. And I'm glad you brought that up about the mental aspect of CrossFit, being able to push through and just kind of training yourself for those tough moments.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, capoeira is really hard. It's not hard, like anybody can do it, but when you get it a few years into it, it starts to test you mentally. And there are a lot of things that I gained mentally by kind of taking other avenues, doing other things that mentally prepared me for a lot of the hurdles that I faced in capoeira. So there's like a physical aspect and a mental aspect of it that at least I found. And I actually popped my CrossFit cherry about a month ago.
Oh, really? Where did you go?
Parkside in North Hollywood.
Oh, you know, I know the owner, Randy Monkey. Randy actually started at Valley.
Apparently, I was telling him.
He's an old fire breather.
Yeah, I was like, I know a bunch of people that come from Valley CrossFit. He was like, everybody's come from Valley CrossFit.
Now, Ransom, but how did you like it?
I found it to be helpful.
So you used to take ballet for a while to get your armada down. Have you taken anything else other than working, like, weights and stuff like that?
Like I said, there are the usual suspects. I've had, like, a foot in and out of yoga to try and aid my flexibility for so long. And we were talking about the CrossFit. I see the benefits of it, and I'm approaching it in a very methodical way. Because I don't want to do CrossFit for competition or mm-hmm. anything. And I'm the big guy in the back of the CrossFit gym with the lightweights. Because I'm really focusing on my endurance.
Right.
Because I'm trying to take what they're teaching me in CrossFit and making it so it fuels my capoeira.
Yeah, I understand. I feel like CrossFit has evolved into just competition. Because mm-hmm. before, I thought it was really just about... To me, it was more the aspect of teamwork and being united and also pushing you to functional movements.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like now that it's starting to be in... I agree with this, the mainline. I'm sure people are like, you could put more than that. Like, why are you
so high?
Because
I
used to get that, too. I used to have a 165 one-rep max back squat
mm-hmm.
until I could not fit into my jeans. And my kicks would be so slow. Like, I remember I would... Even in my mind, when I wanted it to be fast, like, yeah, I knew, and my brain was saying, fast, fast, fast. Like, it was like the earth rotating. It got to a point where I had to stop.
Trunk.
Yeah, I had to stop.
Swing around.
And that's when I had to go back and reevaluate, okay, what do I not need in this specific cross ring? Like, mm-hmm. you know, example CrossFit. Like, I don't need the overhead squats.
Yeah.
You don't need that unless you want to develop, like, tendonitis.
Exactly, and I'm always cognizant about what I'm doing. I'm always cognizant of what will push me towards an injury,
mm-hmm.
and I try and stay very far away from that because capoeira in and of itself is a 50-50 chance you're going to land wrong on something.
Or someone's going to break something.
Or somebody's going to do something. So I'm always, everything else, I try and take the same intensity to mm-hmm. get a good workout on, but I'm dropping weight, I'm taking my time, I'm not trying to push myself to a point where, you know, I don't want to be in there and every rep you just feel the lactic acid bubbling.
I felt that.
I can't do that. It's something, okay, and I'm glad that we're talking about this now, just to personally, you know, full disclosure, I started getting really bored with my workouts about a year ago.
What would you say your workout would consist of?
Okay, for those of you listening who have no idea who I am, I'm about 6'1", 220. I'm a big dude. And I wrestled, played football.
You know, this isn't that kind of a podcast, right? Like,
don't worry. I'll keep my shirt on. But I wrestled, played football. I've been in and out of gym since I was in, like, middle school. Mm-hmm. So when I got out of college and then started, you know, really delving into martial arts, my workouts usually consisted of, I get up in the morning, you know, push iron for about an hour, hour and a half. Mm-hmm. During the course of the day, if I had free time, since I knew so many other athletes and so many other stuff, oh, I'll come do your workout, I'll come try your thing. Mm-hmm. And then at night, I'm taking martial arts classes. Mm-hmm. About a year and a half ago, I stopped lifting with partners about 4 years ago. So then about a year and a half ago, I'm just sitting in the gym and I'm like, I'm bored with this
now. Was there a reason why you stopped lifting with partners?
Finding somebody that works out at your pace.
Okay.
Can be difficult. Not to say that I'm hardcore, you know, Rocky Montage training every time I go into the gym.
Right.
But I'm not a talker. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, since I don't like doing cardio, keeping the pace of my workout up is where I get my cardio. Mm-hmm. So I can't, like, lag around.
Right.
And I only found a couple of people over the years that I worked out with that like to work at that pace. Mm-hmm. And don't feel like they're being abused. So I stopped working out with partners. I couldn't find a partner that I wanted to work out with. And then I just got bored in the gym. And, you know, a year ago, I put on like 30 pounds of bad weight. Mm-hmm. And then I started kind of reevaluating my fitness and what I was going to do outside of capoeira to keep in the shape that I'm used to being in. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm out of shape now, but I'm not nearly...
But you could have been... You've been better. I feel like the older we get, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm like that too. Like, I have this new job in the kitchen where it's very
self... Yeah, you're the hardest working woman in show business right now.
It isn't. I just started working out again last week. I actually did 3 days of cardio before work. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because I literally get up and work out. Like, my feet still hurt from the kitchen. My back hurts. Everything is tight because I'm trying to stretch, but I can barely get flexible. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still literally waking up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to force myself. And I've noticed I've had a little bit more energy. I come with a little bit more intensity, especially when it's time to be on the line and cook. So I'm hoping with time I could, you know, start to get my regular regimen in. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not even trying to think about ahead, like, when I do find someone, and if I do have kids or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think I mean, in a way, like, when I think about my schedule, it's not that bad because I'm a single person working out, trying to hang with that schedule.
But at the same time, it seems bad because when your job is of such a physical nature.
Which it is, yeah.
Yeah. Then you're like, oh my God, do I really want to get up an extra half hour early to stretch?
And that's that question that poses to me. Because I would rather not do anything until I have to do it when it counts.
Yeah.
But it's just something that I have to force myself. That's not even half the battle, because then it's diet. Like, right now, from Tuesday to Saturday, I can tell you exactly what I've had on one hand, because I don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't eat. You're lucky to get a piece of bread. I'm lucky to get a piece of bread.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, a piece of fruit that was, like, on a garnish of mine or something.
And that's even what... Not eating is actually the worst thing for your diet.
Exactly. Yeah. But I can... I can actually say that I consistently train capoeira once a week. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone can tell I miss it when I do train, because there's more intensity, but it's almost like a happy intensity.
Mm-hmm.
That I come with in class. And I do notice, like, my body, I don't even know if my mind knows that, because when you go to class after so many years, like, going to class, it's just your routine.
Yeah.
And you're a married man, congratulations, but I don't know if you remember dating.
I've been married for about 15 minutes.
I don't know if you remember dating, but, like, you know, like, someone will ask me out, and I'll be like, I can't Monday nights, I've got training. Whereas any other person will be like, oh, yeah, Monday I'm free. I'll be like, no. I got training.
I can't tell you, and not just with capoeira or the other martial arts that I do, or just working out in general. I remember I dated a girl who I hoped it would have evolved into something.
Mm-hmm.
She just hated the fact that I had to work out and that I had to go to class. She literally told me once, I was like, I'm going to class tonight. She was like, but you go to class like every night. And I was like, yeah. You should be used to this by now.
I feel like this is one of those common things that happens when you do date. At first, they think it's so cool. They're like, oh, you're doing something so interesting.
So cool. Oh, I could never do that. Oh, no, I just want to watch you.
And then after a minute, they'll be like, again. Because I ran into that in my last relationship, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. It's hard to find someone that's very, like, supportive of that.
Dedication can be very intimidating to someone that doesn't understand what dedication means.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that.
And, yeah, and it wasn't just that one girl. I ran into a lot of people that are like, yeah, you're just weird. You have a problem. And I'm like, well, it could be heroin. I could be in the back doing smack.
But, no, I choose to kick and jump around and stuff. Yeah, I mean, also that, and they want time, too. But you want time also. Do you feel like the more you advance, like, different cross-training movements that you had to take, like, has there been any time, like, as an advance that you, I mean, to me, you've been advanced for a while. Like, I'm looking at your cords right now on your wall. Like, when I'm looking at this green cord and your second cord, and I'm just like, this isn't even, like, what you were at. I mean, ability-wise.
Those first two were from my first school, and I sat on those for...
You sat on those forever, dude.
Oh, God, like 6 years.
Yeah.
Both of those.
I mean, no, it was a long time. Like, I'm looking at these cords, because I was at three of these... No, four of these cords.
Oh, yeah.
I just wasn't able to go to the last one because of work, but...
Oh, no, big ups, because you definitely, you just showed up to our little family picnic and gave us our what's uppers. Wow.
I try to, even with the schedule, I definitely want to come out and still support and be a part of Capoeira. But I'm looking at your cords right now, and I'm just, like, thinking, like, different cross-training movements. Like, has it always just been dancing and weightlifting? Have you ever tried anything else?
One of the things when searching for or, you know, and it's not like everything I do is to fuel capoeira. Capoeira isn't the only martial art that I take.
Mm-hmm.
So I structure everything to kind of be able to perform in general for mm-hmm. everything that I do. And one of the things is I started... doing martial arts that feed each other and complement each other.
Oh, okay.
Also really helped me out. And what I would stress to people that ask me about that is there's a very unique thing about capoeira, and only a handful of martial arts do
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
We actually train in real time. What does that mean? What I mean by that is we learn movements, we do sequences, we do partner drills, and we mm-hmm. do all this stuff. But at the end of every class, there's a hara.
Right.
Where it's always geared towards training in real time. And I make the distinction, like, you take Western boxing or, say, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu complements capoeira in the same way, where you'll learn your drills and you'll do all your stuff, but at the end of the day, you're going
to
roll.
Get to roll, right.
With boxing, you can go, and people say, well, boxers spar all the time. If you're training for a fight, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go to places and take, like, a cardio workout
right.
or a boxing workout
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily, and be able to dodge actually sparring
mm-hmm.
unless you seek it out. This is one of those martial arts where we just don't know any other way to do it.
Right.
There's absolutely no other way to do it but to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So finding arts that complement that, I've gone to other places and, you know, I don't want to get into the whole debate on whether a martial art is effective or not. If you're good at it, a martial art is effective. I don't care what you do. But there's something, I've gone to places and I've trained things and it's just, you get a weird vibe.
And martial arts, like other martial arts or other capoeira?
Other martial arts.
Okay.
Because there's something missing. And that thing that's missing is someone trying to kick you in the face.
Right.
So there's an element of that that I look for in other things that I do. Like I do a screamer.
Mm-hmm.
There's live time where sticks are flying at your face, and I'm like, okay, this is familiar to me.
Right.
And that kind of thing complements what I do in my other arts. So being able to conceptualize the art enough to understand what elements you need to have in other arts, if that makes any sense.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big thing for me, being able to do things that complement. Not everything has to, like Escrima and Capoeira on the surface are wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one is very flowy and expressive, mm-hmm. there's acrobatics, I'm on the ground, I'm doing all this stuff, mm-hmm. and another is beating someone with a stick.
Right.
But at their core, they complement each other.
They do.
Yeah.
I think with the speed and the ability to adapt.
Exactly.
With the different angles that they come at you, because Capoeira, different angles can come at you. I think it was Shingu that had said, this is like an old Shingu quote, like this is something that I remember from like 10 years ago. He said that like Hei Janelle is like someone hitting you with a stick. Mm-hmm. And Angola is like someone hitting you with a chain.
Yeah.
I remember when he told that to me, I was like, shit.
you had a Keanu Reeves moment.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, wow, dude, that's like true. Because when you're young, it's funny, you don't, I see it now in my younger students, not even younger, like they're like young, like just students coming up.
Capoeira age.
They're not, they don't get Angola. They're like, I don't get it, it's slow. And how do you move so well? I don't know what I'm doing because mm-hmm. there's this broken rhythm,
yeah,
and I think that's where she was talking about the chain,
yep.
And it's how to hang with that. And then where contemporary and Hijinal, it's kind of an up game. It's kind of like, you know, the beat is always going to be kind of fast. Like
mm-hmm.
there's a flow. And I totally under, and I did a little bit of stick fighting with Shingu.
Oh yeah, I remember those days.
I remember all the bruises, all the slaps.
Oh, good time.
That wiffle ball bat.
That was the worst.
I had a well sweating.
The size of a small dinner plate on my rib from I never knew a wiffle ball bat could hurt that much.
I had this one beauty. It was like the size of a tall boy can on the side of like the meat of my thigh.
Oh yeah.
It was like five different colors, and then when it healed, it was like eight different colors. It was like those Doppler radar.
Oh yeah.
Like temperature, like heat sensored. Oh god.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's listening, just laughing and like just yep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's probably like, you know what? I missed that. I'm gonna bring that back to class.
I wish I can go to more classes, but with time and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, cross-training is just really good to supplement. Also, it's good to break it. I think sometimes, and as much as I love Capoeira, I just can't do 5-6 days of Capoeira like some people.
No, and actually, I'm glad we kind of brought up the Escrima thing, because, you know, what I said before, cross-training being able to help you physically and mentally...
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for me finding Escrima, I would have had, the last 4 years of Capoeira would have been really difficult for me.
In terms of, like, you'd hit the wall and you wouldn't know how to break it?
I hit that wall, and the one thing that allowed me to overcome it with a lot less stress and mental battle scars...
Mm-hmm.
was the fact that I've been doing Escrima for about 6 years. And so back when I hit this wall, I was maybe a year and a half, 2 years into it, still mm-hmm. relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hit that wall in Capoeira, every time anybody hits a wall, you start looking, you start searching. How can I get past this?
Yeah.
What can I do? You ask other people questions.
A lot of long nights.
Oh my God.
Thinking about that.
Do you
driving in traffic, thinking about that.
Sleepless nights.
Yeah.
You ask older courts. You ask your teacher.
And you have this taste in your mouth, and you're just like disgusted with yourself.
Oh,
I don't know
dude.
If that's being over dramatic, but.
No.
That's what I felt.
I ran
in my lowest
gambit.
Point. Like,
oh man, I started.
And no one understands, and you think no one understands.
Like, and everybody goes through it, but nobody talks about it.
Yeah, and your non-capital friends are like, "What's wrong with you?" And you're like, "Nothing. Like, I can't explain it.
You don't even know.
You don't know. Like, you wouldn't know. So I'm not even gonna fucking tell you."
Yeah. But no, I going through the whole thing, I started going back and was like, was there something that I missed in one of Nestor's books? That
yeah, like you're going over notes.
This? Yeah.
You're going over old classes.
But honestly, the thing that helped me so much was that having Eskrima as something to divert my focus.
Mm-hmm.
Allowed me, basically what I did was I was faced with the challenge of Eskrima and this wall in Capoeira.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally said to myself, I was like, I don't know how to break through this wall in Capoeira, but I know that there are a bunch of things that I can obsess over in Eskrima.
Mm-hmm.
So I took all of that energy that I would have had trying to face that wall in Capoeira, mm-hmm. and I just obsessed over Eskrima. Like, minute details. I was like, I gotta get my footwork better.
There's definitely a lot of little nuances that I see.
Yeah. And I just obsessed over it so that every time I went in a capoeira class, I was just like, eh, whatever.
Just kind of let it go.
I'm just gonna play.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I look up one day, and it's, you know, 6 months later, and my game is doing things that I didn't even know that I could do.
And the funniest thing is, that is the answer, is to really just play and try to just let it go.
Yeah.
Even though people tell you that, and you don't fucking listen to them, and you swear that's not the right
answer. You have to be lying.
Yeah.
You're setting me up for failure.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. You don't know. They know.
Yeah.
That's why they're telling you that. And that's what I've gathered from when I've hit several different walls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I'm not going through a wall right now.
I actually am very glad that I'm not going through a wall right now.
We're laughing at people that are going out walls right now. No, I feel
good
like...
Good luck with that wall.
I feel like me taking a break and cooking, and it's funny because I think cooking or... I mean, I think anything that you love where you're working and you're doing something you love, there's going to be a suck period.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't just... Like, Capoeira, none of us started out good.
No.
Nobody believes me.
Oh my god. Even people who are natural acrobats, yeah, you got that part down. But there's so many facets to Capoeira.
Yeah, and there's so many little nuances.
Yeah.
Of how to act, what to do, mm-hmm. How to roll with it, you know, etiquette, all this stuff, and you have to go through it and you have to get shouted at, and I feel like cooking is that to me. So it's weird to be doing something that I love for 5 days and then having the one day of the week to do something I love, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like that break from Capoeira, not even that it's a break. If I could go to class like usual, I would go to class, but I know that but on Mondays when I come in with so much enthusiasm and energy.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more than it used to be, because, like, I don't take it for granted.
Yeah, because now we as human beings, we have a lot of natural energy, and when you're focusing it on one thing, a lot of times you can bottleneck it.
Yeah.
So when you're able to disperse it over, you know, a job that you're passionate about, mm-hmm. or another art that you're passionate about, or art in general, you know, I know a lot of musicians that do very well in Capoeira because they have their music to obsess
over. The
rhythm,
yeah.
Yeah, and it naturally, again, another thing that lends itself mm-hmm. to your art form. So if you can find complementary things that will help you in some way, then whether you know it or not, they're gonna allow you to walk that middle path,
right?
Without being too hot or too cold about something.
And I think that's the main thing of cross training that is essential if you want to take something up to help your game.
Yeah,
cross training.
Yeah.
So we talked about. So you're doing stick fighting right now. Do you find yourself growing at stick fighting? Like, have you hit a wall in stick fighting yet where Capoeira has helped you?
Oh, my God. I've hit so many walls.
Oh, really?
The only difference is when you hit a wall in stick fighting, that means that somebody brains you over the side of the head. So that's the unfortunate thing. But, no, and Capoeira, and I am lucky enough to train both art forms with the same teacher.
Yeah, Shingu.
Shingu teaches jiu-jitsu, eskrima, and capoeira. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky in the sense that, you know, some people would say, oh, well, you're getting the same information from the same guy. The good part about it is, though, I've been around him so long, mm-hmm. he knows my personality so mm-hmm. well. He knows how to push my buttons, when to back off, when to push me harder, mm-hmm. what to say to get me past those mental blocks. So it's a good experience in that regard. And he, I swear sometimes he actually knows what I personally am going through. Mm-hmm. So he'll ramp something up in capoeira.
Right.
Or he'll ramp something up in eskrima.
Have you, can you like give me an example of each thing?
Like, what? I mean, in eskrima, it's just like, okay, today everybody's going to get in the line and beat on Matt. That's happened a few times. Which I actually, oddly enough, I enjoy.
Do they do like the five? From what I learned, or is it? Are you guys doing like different?
Because when you started, it was still very. It was kind of basically him doing a bunch of privates. Whoever wanted to mm-hmm. privately do it, he's actually expanded his academy to
into actual classes. Yeah, I was training under him privately for about 6 months.
Yeah, so he's got an entire curriculum that's going on that I pretend to understand, but
let's try not to edit.
No, one of the good things, though, to your actual question, though, if, you know, capoeira has ever helped me, if the reverse is true, it's allowed me to mentally be able to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we train capoeira in real time. We learn all these movements, and it's up to us to incorporate it into our game.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you remember this or if this happened to you when you were younger, like a young chord, or I mean young in capoeira age. I remember getting in the circle and thinking, all right, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, you go in, and it's fucking out the door.
Oh, yeah, you might, out of the list of 10 things you want to do, you might get
you
one.
You string one or two moves, and then and then you come out, and you're just like, fuck, I wanted to do so much
Yeah. And then you're like, oh my God, I'll never be like, this guy, I remember I was at an event, and I was maybe 3-4 years in, and the maestres that were sitting on the panel, I think this was back in Detroit, they were taking questions, mm-hmm. and one of the guys was like, so when you're about to enter the Hoda, what are you thinking about? Like, are you planning your strategy, or you're doing anything? What are you actually thinking about? And like, you saw this panel of, like, 9 professors, contramaestres, and maestres just look at each other like, do you think? I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know. I'm just about to go play.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you got to, that's one of those humps that you got to get over. And, again, just kind of letting go and being able to do it.
Yeah, there for me, there's a, everything goes blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just goes white. Like, mm-hmm. white. He's like, everything turns off. I can't even hear anything when I'm in there.
Oh, yeah, I have a hard time. It's, I can't hear like until flash, I have to.
It's like one of those flash bombs at the SWAT.
Yeah, like, I've actually gotten to the point, which is a little scary, because when I used to wrestle in high school, to this day, I don't remember any wrestling match that I've ever had, except for two that I lost. Remember the bad losses.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything about my wrestling career actually wrestling. I'm kind of getting to that point in capoeira where I don't remember
like
any of the games
in,
that
you
I
do
play.
It, and then it's over,
and then it's gone. And now the good part about it is that kind of now I feel like a junkie. I'm like, I gotta go play again because I can't remember what it's like to play.
Yeah.
So like we just had our main studios. Bachisato, I actually was able to make it out for both of the open hodas. Saw Eugene on Friday, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Big ups to Eugene. And but I don't remember any of the games that I played. I remember one move that happened to me in one game on Sunday. But out of 3 days of going...
Do you remember who you played?
A lot of the times I remember who I play. I just don't remember the game.
You probably remember, like, the initial Awuin.
Pretty much. I remember your face, and I remember we're going, and then I remember walking out. That's it. That's all I got.
Like, do you remember, and were they going super fast? Were just like, you'd play for 3 seconds, some ass would buy you out, and then you're just like, fuck, man.
Well, no, because the good thing.
Oh, yes.
We were talking about this. Oh, my God, it's the greatest thing ever. We talked about this on Sunday.
We are now monitors.
I have blew in my cord, and I got it about 10 minutes ago. But the best part about it is, and honestly, I did not abuse this, but I definitely got sweet retribution because I cut a couple of people and I was like, no, can I just play real quick?
And of course, no one can say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is your school.
Yeah. And this is like sweet vengeance for the 10 years of upper chords just passing me.
Yeah. That is just something that just comes with time that you just have to accept. When you're a young chord, it's just like, anyone higher, you just gotta let them go.
Well, the good thing about it is, for a certain amount of time, that's actually a good thing. Because looking back, if I was allowed to just go for broke, mm-hmm. I would have been that annoying dude in the Honda with... who thinks he knows everything and is trying to play everybody and thinks he knows what's going on and just is sloppy all over the place. It would have been very bad.
There's always a couple people there.
Yeah.
I didn't see any there, but I didn't get to really play in the open Hodas. I got to do the workshop, and I got to get my playing in there. And then I saw the event.
Mm-hmm.
So, you actually have been married for, as you said, as of 15 minutes.
Yeah, I got married March 19th. I did a very brilliant thing. I secretly kind of convinced my wife to get married during the first week of the March Madness tournament. So, I'll never forget my anniversary. My anniversary is on the first weekend of the March Madness tournament.
A guy.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. We know you're straight. Because you're wrapping it up with a sports event.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have that problem of thinking that you're anything else.
No.
That's good.
And I'm willing to burn that first weekend of the tournament as long as my wife is happy. got married to a French girl, a French Canadian. And
love poutine.
I've had a lot of drunken nights of poutine.
God, that's so good. So basically, what's your plan for the future?
In general or in Capoeira?
Really anything.
I'm looking into... right now I'm in Los Angeles, and it looks like over the course of the next year, I might be slowly shifting my entire life to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I got to learn more French than the 5 things that I know how to say right now. That's going to be a challenge. And, you know, while I'm up there, just continuing my training, trying to... understand how else I can grow. A lot of it, when you get to a certain point, isn't just evolving. Mm-hmm. It's understanding how you need to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Being self-critical, putting yourself under the microscope. So I think I'm at that point now. There are a lot of things that I still want to accomplish, and a lot of things that I think I can tack on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing that. And hopefully I'll be able to... Hopefully I'll be able to be better than, you know, I was yesterday.
That's what I think we all should do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I try to do for everything, like cooking and capoeira. So thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. So cool.
Hopefully we can get you in, I don't know, in the next like couple of years or so, and seeing like what else are you doing, like, and how you're evolving.
Oh, we could do like a follow-up episode.
No, I love doing that.
Where it's like 5 years ago he is at the top of his game, and then it all came crashing down.
When did this become VH1 Behind the Music, or either the True
Behind the Hoda?
This is just Capoeira Podcast. But thank you so much.